This curious gospel passage comes from Luke's chapter 17, which is something of an enigma. One biblical scholar suggested that when the author felt he had finished the book, he had several more post-it notes all across his library. So he just dropped them in as a string of non sequiturs into this section, which our translation captures under the rather mundane header, Some Sayings of Jesus. Here is a hodgepodge of sayings and brief stories. Well, friends, they're dropped into our laps. The task, therefore, it seems, is for us to locate ourselves in context with the struggling disciples who are central to the story. This encounter unfolds on the cusp of Jesus' return toward Jerusalem one last time. So we are nearing the end, and the disciples who are following him are asking, they intuitively know something is amiss, and so they are asking, Lord, increase our faith so that we can make the way with you. They are struggling because Jesus has told them to carry on no matter what. Do not stumble or cause others to stumble, he encourages them. And if one of you does stumble and then repents, the others must forgive and invite them back in. Stick together, he says. And when you stumble, return, forgive, and be together again. It's the flow of life to which we are called. Of course, we all stumble, we all fail, as did those first disciples and all who have walked this Christian way since. But here it is, the thesis of the gospel, cut close, be together, stumble and return, forgive one another. This is the way of our Christian life. The rest of the passage about slaves just doing what they are supposed to do, well, let's hold that lightly enough in our anachronistic hands to simply say that there is perhaps a hyperbolic admonition here to not take ourselves too seriously or to count ourselves too important. Humility is a Christian virtue, as is gratitude for life. They are both embedded here. And if we take a few steps back from the unsettling imagery of slavery, perhaps we can glean really a Trinitarian sense of virtues to which Jesus is calling us, namely the virtues of faith and humility and gratitude. Let's start with faith. Trappist monk Brother David Stindl-Rast says that faith is not really about some system of beliefs, some taxonomy of statements that if you just say them enough times, they will soak in and color one's religious thoughts. Faith, in that sense, breaks down because it is quarantined to what we might consider religious, that is, only addressing a corner of our lives that we mark as religious. Stindl-Rast says, that is not faith. And no recitation of creedal statements will serve to increase that measure of one's faith at the end of the day, nor will it inoculate us from stumbling. Rather, Stindl-Rast suggests that faith is courageous trust in life. Faith is courageous trust in life. That the source of life provides all the gifts necessary to experience our full aliveness as a gift, and to do so in ways that enables us to hope for what will surprise us in that aliveness. He even says, surprise is as good a name for God as we have. Surprise is as good a name for God as we have. Surprise happens when we orient to the gift of aliveness that comes in it. The core of faith, then, is that courage to trust in your aliveness as a manifestation of God that comes as a gift to you, that says yes to you, that says yes in you. Which brings us to humility. a virtue not so honored in our modern culture, but one which flows naturally enough when we see that all that we have and all that we are gifts from God. Thomas Aquinas went so far to say that while humility is not the apex of Christian virtue, of course, love is the apex. Aquinas said, humility is the beginning of all Christian virtue, including love, because without humility, we will not open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Or to say it more emphatically, without humility, one will lack faith, because the lack of humility, which we would call pride, that lack of humility refuses to accede to the reality that aliveness is the gift from God that we have. And it is the gift that, when adopted, enables us to have a proper unconcern on penultimate matters in life, like our worth, our skills, our achievements, and our status. Pride is always concerned with such penultimate matters. But when we focus there, we stifle the gift of true aliveness in God. But here's the trick. The antidote to pride is not denial of one's attributes of self-acclaim. The antidote to pride is gratitude. Courageous gratefulness when we come to realize that something outside of ourselves, something not of our own doing, is the ground of true meaning. And when we trust that, surprise becomes the divine gift. Now gratitude is a sermon unto itself. You'll just have to wait for another day for that full on. But I hope what you hear from me this morning is that gratitude is connected to these other virtues of faith and humility, and it actually flows from them. It all has origins in this recognition that the source of our aliveness is a gift from God, and that we are created, we are incarnated with all the gifts necessary to experience that aliveness as a gift from God, if we will just trust this to be so. So, Lord, increase our faith. There it is, our prayer too. My friends, today we launch our annual stewardship appeal, inviting you, each one of you, each one of us to make a financial commitment in support of St. Mark's mission and ministries for the coming year. Now, I know when I mention money and stewardship, I suspect that I've just hit the buzzkill button for some of you. But if you can just hang with me for one more minute, I want to see if we can come full circle. I hope you've heard me say from this pulpit time and again that this pledge appeal and our identity as stewards that undergirds it is not about building a church budget. Let me just ask, have you heard me say that before? Yes? Can I have? All right. I see a few nodding heads. It is not about building a church budget. That's on par with saying faith is about belief statements. It won't hold water in the end. No, this invitation to give, and to give generously and to give gratefully, is not about a church budget. It is an act of courageous trust that all that you have and all that you are gifts from God. They come as gifts to you, and if you are willing and able to step into that truth with courage, and courage, by the way, just means a grateful heart, if you step into that truth with courage, then I am convinced that the surprise that is God will break into your life in unexpected and life-giving ways. It is an act of faith and humility and gratitude to lean into this way of being, to give in this way that we are being invited to give. And so my prayer for you and us all this morning is that may the aliveness that comes as a gift to you come in this season of giving as a result of the surprises that lift out of your life. Amen.